and thank the organizers for allowing me to come, even though I was quite late. Since I didn't bring my usual teleprompter with me, I carefully wrote out my speech in advance, but there's some things had to be expurgated, so it's disappeared. The true title of this is, I have to refer to my notes, Jordan Derivation is in the Quest for Jordan Fractions. This is a task worthy of Indiana Jones. Some were confused about my placement in this alphabetical list, and many occasions when I go to find photographs, they list me under C, so I'm under C at the store. So I'm not intruding in the correct alphabetical order. This talk will be largely historical. The first part, set up there, part one, was the historical background. The talk should be long on history and short on details. I want to talk about the Jordan fractions, and the first stage in this was the elemental approach. Back in the days when the U operator was just born, Jacobson, Parvathy, and I tried to get an embedding of aura Jordan domains in division algebras. And we generalized that to situations, vocalizations, where you had a Jordan algebra J, and you had an aura domain, a domain of non-singular elements that satisfied aura conditions, and you tried to embed J in an algebra of fractions. Jacobson had tried to think of this before, but before the U operator, you couldn't really talk about what a Jordan fraction, S over X, was. If you tried to write it in terms of the bilinear product, it was horrible. But now with the U operator, this made sense, and we developed a theory of embedding Jordan algebras with aura conditions in fractions. The multiplicative part of the theory worked beautiful thanks to the fundamental formula. We could prove everything except that when we created these new objects, and we had new X's and new Y's, we had a nice U operator, what you need for a Jordan algebra, but we couldn't prove it's quadratic in the variable X. And so we had to throw in some horrible unaesthetic axioms, and that was the end of the paper. And, you know, in human development, there are all these apes running around the African savanna in Miocene times and later, that later died out. We can't be sure which ones died out. Well, this paper turned out to be like a Neanderthal. It's sort of died, had no repercussions. Extinct creature in the mathematical landscape. Now let me indicate what the more modern treatment is. I guess I won't even write it down. These are not symbols or anything, they're just words. The associative people all along, instead of working with this naive high school fractions, like you create the rational numbers, they built these algebras of quotients through partially defined homomorphisms. So a typical element here was identified with its left multiplication, and it was a homomorphism from some sort of ideal into the entire associative algebra, and this is what you meant by a fraction with denominator I. Okay, and they developed quite a theory of these. And all the modern theory of algebras of fractions that we've already seen from this morning go through this process. A fraction is a partially defined homomorphism of some sort. Okay, the breakthrough in this area was about 5 years ago when Consuelo Martinez saw a way of interpreting the Jordan fractions as not homomorphisms of a Jordan structure, but as derivations of a Lie algebra. So this is the TKK approach. The letters get permuted in different countries. In Germany, it begins with a K, and in Russia, it begins with a different K. But anyway, the letters remain the same. So this approach, and for Consuelo Chelo, it only worked if you had a scalar 1/6. Characteristics 2 and 3 didn't work. But the idea was that this fraction that you're going to create is really add of x bar, and this is mapping a Lie algebra, a little Lie subalgebra. I'll talk about this in just a minute, of I into the TKK algebra of J itself. Okay. Now, she must have listened to Professor Cantor and believed him when he said there are no Jordan algebras, there are only Lie algebras. So for her, it was natural that this element really has an existence in here, in the Lie algebra. Here, the elements, I better say what the TKK algebra is, not for this audience, but just for completeness. The algebra, I'll just call it LJ. It's built out of one copy of the Jordan algebra, glued together. You can see I'm like Dr. Strangelove. I'm trying to write a V for a Jordan pair. I restrain myself. Because the natural framework for this is Jordan pairs, but I'm trying to keep it simple. Everything's a Jordan algebra. Two copies of the Jordan algebra, a plus part and a minus part, glued together by this zero part in the middle. This is, if you take add x acting on y, this is just this delta of yx. This is really a pair of endomorphisms, inner derivations, pair of endomorphisms, one acting on j plus, one acting on j minus. But it's the glue that holds these together when you bracket, Lie bracket, two elements from the two different copies of J. Actually, I want to make some propaganda for something else. Well, I won't do that either. In the cleanliness domain, I was going to use some slides. I did bring four of them. And so, see if this works. In fact, one of them I definitely want to use. It would take me half an hour to write, and therefore I'm not eager to reveal it. You'll see why. I'll try to restrain that as long as I can. Now I'm going to check my technical competence here. Right. Good. Okay. Yes, I'm trying to make... No, John, that's okay. Leave it. I think this is okay. I may be wrong. This afternoon, the sun has moved. Okay. Now, maybe, yeah, it would be... Well... And even that's not great, but... I'm trying to make propaganda and for a universal TKK algebra. The glue in the middle represents certain endomorphisms on the Lie algebra, and it's a well-known fact that as a result, you don't always have an involution on this Lie algebra exchanging the plus and minus parts, and you could have one of these endomorphisms that is zero, one of these inner derivations is zero on the Lie algebra, but if you embedded this in a bigger Lie algebra, it might not be zero on the bigger Lie algebra. And so you don't have a functor, you don't have a way of attaching functorially a Lie algebra to a Jordan algebra or a Jordan pair. So there's a disadvantage. If you take sort of generic multiplications, these deltas with a hat, this is something that exists in the universal quadratic envelope, something Marlowe introduced for Jordan pairs, a universal gadget for bi-representations. Jordan algebras and pairs don't have modules, they have bi-modules. They don't have representations, they have bi-representations, and there's a universal gadget for that. And to say that one of these inner derivations is zero in that universal setting means it'll be zero on all possible bi-modules, not just the regular bi-module. And if you use that as your glue, that is functorial, and you would get an involution, and you would get a functor from Jordan pairs, really, to three-graded Lie algebras. But this has a difficulty, which you can't see, but there's a sticking point. It's not clear that when you have these inner derivations and something which is not generically zero for a sub pair V, when you embed it in a larger pair, you throw in some more elements, that might force, like for example, throwing in some inverses to elements in V, that might force this operator to be zero generically for all Jordan algebras and bimodules for V prime, even though it wasn't always zero for V. The existence of more elements might constrain it, so we don't get an embedding from the universal gadget for a Jordan algebra or pair V into the corresponding universal gadget for a bigger pair or algebra V prime. And if it weren't for that difficulty, I would have thrown away in this work, in this notion of Jordan Jordan derivation, the ordinary TKK algebra. I would have used the generic one entirely. Okay. So there are some advantages to that universal gadget. It's a functor. It has an involution. If you have something that's zero on the plus part, its corresponding thing is going to be zero on the minus part. With that commercial interruption, go back to the situation here. Consuelo showed that she could take this Jordan pair or algebra in her case and embed it in a bigger Lie algebra, a Lie algebra built out of the collection of these derivations. These are degree one derivations. There's an analogous thing of degree minus that lowers degree, and you put those together and glue them correctly, and you get a Lie algebra. And then if it's a three-graded Lie algebra, it must be L of something, and that something is your Jordan algebra of fractions. So that's how she created the Jordan algebra of fractions, entirely through Lie theoretic methods. Okay, so these are two approaches. So this is, I had an elaborate numbering system. I can remember some of the talks at Oberwolfach where everything had section 1. Holger Pedersen, 1.2, 1.2.1. And I was trying to do that, but it didn't work. Okay. In addition to this general TKK approach, there's the approach that Jose talked about this morning, Martindale quotients. Here the notion of quotients is a little different. This is motivated by the structure theory of Jordan algebras. Efim Zelmanov's classification of all the Hermitian Jordan algebras and triple systems. The Jordan algebra is squeezed in between Hermitian elements of an associative algebra with involution and Hermitian elements of its Martindale ring of quotients. And the notion of quotients that Jose talked about was they weren't written as elemental fractions, but you had to have certain properties that for these new objects, Q circle, a certain ideal, and U sub Q acting on that ideal had to fall back in the Jordan algebra. Then this ideal I inside, actually it was inside A, was a denominator for that that particular element Q. So that's a different approach. That uses two-sided ideals. There is another approach using one-sided ideals, which Fernando Montaner will talk about. That uses the structure theory. That's a different approach. Lie free, 100% Lie free. It takes a non-degenerate Jordan algebra, and it quickly runs to, I had a beautiful diagram here with the mystic hand of, this is not Zorro, this is Zelmanov. The structure theory due to Zelmanov leads you to a double decomposition. Everybody who's non-degenerate is either a PI algebra or is special. Amazing fact. And, I won't say what happens, but Professor Montaner will use special techniques to handle both of these and settle the question there. And he will derive Consuelo's approach as a consequence of his conditions. So that's another approach. But in here, too, you're reducing to the associative case, where what are the associative fractions? They are these homomorphisms from something into something. Okay, now, trying to partially revive the Neanderthals, the approach that my student Jim Bowling took in his thesis was a more closely tied to an elemental approach. Here the elements were identified not just with their derivation, the add of that, but also a divided square. Add x squared is, this is not a derivation, and add x squared makes sense within the Lie context. In characteristic 2, this is a little bit suspect. This pair of derivation and its divided square, Professor Faulkner has a whole theory. The trouble is that if you're going to do this for general Lie algebras without a sixth, somewhere I said that 1/6 was necessary, Lie algebras are pretty weak. They need to take steroids. And John Faulkner showed a way to inject them with steroids and build a whole hop algebra structure on top of them with enrich this Lie algebra. And what we want to keep out of this is the divided square of that, none of the higher powers of these, 1/2 of the square. At any rate, there is an enriched version of Lie algebras then, and the idea is that what an element is both this element and its divided square, and the whole point is that 1/2 of add x, this is something of degree 2. It takes the minus part into the plus part, and what it's really doing is multiplying the U operator. This is the essential ingredient. Squared. The add is squared, but the U isn't. I was about to mention, my teleprompter would have told me, I should have told you at some point what an inner ideal is. It's been used already today. We in the quadratic Jordan faith, we recite the mantra, there is but one Jordan product and U is its name. Okay, so for us, this is the only product. And this product is not symmetric. It's quadratic in X, linear in U. And so we can talk about an outer multiplication by X and an inner multiplication by Y. And an inner ideal would be a space closed under inner multiplication. This, remember that this is supposed to look like, in your heart, you know it really is, XYX, associative product XYX. And so, an inner ideal here that we're talking about in Consuelo's application, in Jim Bowling's application, and in Fernando's application, is a space that, when you stick it into the middle of this product, you stick arbitrary elements of the Jordan algebra into that product, it stays inside the inner ideal. It's closed under inner multiplication. That's what an inner ideal is. Okay, and again, Jim Bowling was able to show that when you took not just the derivations, but the divided square derivations, derivation plus this divided square, that if you took this as your new element, you could embed J, well, sort of embed J, in its algebra fractions. That work is posted on the Jordan server, but it's not quite ready for prime time. It's still very hard to understand. Now, so the second part of my talk is Jordan derivations. There is an infelicity. Michelle's suggestion that that should be called infidelity has some merit to it. This isn't faithful. This embedding is not faithful. And that's where the infidelity crops in. It can happen in this situation that you can find an element Z in the original Jordan algebra that's going to be lost when you pass to the ring of fractions. Okay? And you can if you have an element that satisfies a property, first of all, when you stick it into any triple product like this, it's zero. And the same happens if you multiply like this. This means it's an absolute zero divisor. This means it's even worse. And if you have a unit, it means that 2z is zero. If you have that situation, this person will be lost. Then delta is zero. The add of x out of this z acting on somebody is going to be this operator delta z j of j, and that's going to be zero. This operator is going to be zero. So this is the essential part of the derivation, except connected with it. And the derivation squared is the u operator, and that's zero too. So this, well, it's hard to say that it survived perhaps as a Cheshire cat derivation. All that's left is the smile. The derivation is zero, the divided square is zero, but his name somehow survived. Well, that's one way that we think we can patch this up. But the Jordan derivations are meant to remedy this. Now, some in the audience don't really care. This is only a characteristic 2 pathology, and there's some who don't care about characteristic 2. And there are probably lots in the audience who don't care about degenerate characteristic 2 Jordan algebras. But I care, okay? I care for the impoverished, underprivileged Jordan algebras of the world, and I think they are entitled to have their algebra fractions. So I want them, I think it's guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. So I want to make sure that this construction is always faithful to everybody in J, not just the non-degenerate people. No reprobates are killed off. Everybody survives. Well, so, and the idea behind it is that these elements have not only, remember, the only product is this Jordan product, and there are two parts to it, an outer part and an inner part. Every element has an outer multiplication, which we were taking to be this divided square derivation. And it's also got an inner multiplication, which are right upside down. The action of this inner multiplication can be written in Lie terms if you have a 1/2. This action, inner multiplication by x on a y, this is going to be quadratic in y, and x is somehow in the middle of all this. This can be written as 1/2 of the derivation attached to x acting on y. This now, this y is in the negative space, this is positive, this is an operator. It's a multiplication operator, x on y minus produces another element in y minus. So this is a mapping from j minus into j minus. It's the inner multiplication by x on this vector y. Okay, and so a Jordan pair should be a triple of these things. It should have inner multiplication and outer multiplication. And so what a Jordan derivation is, now we're going to bring the trolley out again. You'll see why I... why I wanted the slide. And don't be frightened. Don't look very carefully at this. A Jordan derivation has 14 conditions. And don't look too closely or worry too much about them. Let me, in fact, I can remove some down at the bottom you can't even see. Okay, that's pretty good. Let me just point out the first 4 are important. This is a derivation. I'm thinking of an element, this derivation is degree 1, let's say, acting on this 3-graded Lie algebra. In fact, I'm going to have to move that up a little bit. Excuse me. These three operations, the delta, the cap, and the cup, have to interact in a certain way. And this first condition, if you linearized it, this Jordan triple product, x, y, z, would be expressible as a Lie triple product. And a derivation of the Lie triple product should hop onto each piece. Well, it hops onto x, and there are 2 x's, so it does it twice. And then it hops onto a, but a is already of degree 1, delta is of degree 1. This would send it into part of the Lie algebra of degree 2, and that's 0. So that doesn't act. This is the correct definition of what this derivation should do to an element of the minus space, which happens to be a Jordan product. This is the essential Jordan derivation condition, that it interacts with the XYX product. The next thing is fairly clear. This operator is a bracket of Y and A, and delta of the bracket should be the bracket of the deltas, and once more, delta on A is going to be zero, so the only action that survives is this delta. So that's a natural condition. This, if you linearize the cap operation that I talked about, which was delta x acting on x, and divide by a half, you'd get 1/2 delta of xy plus 1/2 delta yx, and they're both the same. So this linearization is just explaining where the cap comes from, and this is just explaining where the cup comes from. If you had a 1/2, this says cup is a 1/2 of delta of z. So those are all natural. If this is what cup and cap are, and you want to have a Lie derivation, you've got to have those four. It's not so clear that you have to have all the rest of those. But it turns out they're sort of necessary. And if you look at these last four, 9, 10, 11, 12, they all look like the fundamental formula in different disguises. Fundamental formula u of x, u of y, u of x equals u sub u of x, y for different elements. This here is supposed to really be a secret u operator. So these are maybe palatable. Well, the only other palatable thing about these is that you don't need them except in characteristic 2. That is, all the rest of these, if you had a 1/6, you would never have to mention the last 10 of them, or last 8 of them. Okay, again, you don't want to look very carefully at this. That's easy to do with the lighting. But what this says is that 2 times these equations that have to be satisfied are automatically satisfied, follow from the first 4. So if you have the first 4, everything else is going to follow. It's only when you can't divide by 2 that you have to put all this extra stuff in. So they are messy. Didn't want to say too much about them. When you have a 1/6, they're not messy at all. They're very natural. Again, this is not too important, but it's the fact that if you have one of these elements in a larger algebra, you're trying to create an algebra of fractions. If you have an element in one of these bigger algebras, V twiddle, bigger than V, this is all written in terms of pairs, then the restriction, having a denominator in the original algebra is a condition that when you multiply by this element of the bigger algebra on certain ideals of the smaller one, very much like in Jose's talk, you stay within the Jordan pair V or the Jordan algebra J. And this just says if you do restrict the ordinary add operation, the ordinary Q operator, the ordinary inner multiplication by Q, if you restrict that down in this situation, you get one of these Jordan derivations. Okay, and the goal of the search for quadratic Jordan fractions is try to create Jordan derivations like this and turn them into an algebra. It's not hard to see that this embedding will never die. We talked about this unfortunate death of certain underprivileged elements. In this situation that we're interested in, where we're trying to find fractions with denominators, the S's that we have are going to turn into this aura domain. They're going to be invertible. They have to be injective to begin with. So all these aura conditions, the original elements that are going to be the denominators in your fractions, the U operator, S injective means US is injective. And well, if that's the case, then at least US of Z isn't zero. If this element Z, this underprivileged guy, he's lost his, sort of orphan, he's lost his U, he's lost his delta multiplication, but he still has his inner multiplication. If you inner multiply by this guy, he's worth something. He can do something. So he survives, he produces a non-trivial cap sub Z is not zero, as long as there's some of these injective elements. So it's guaranteed in this setup that the embedding of J in this Jordan algebra fractions is going to be faithful to everybody. Okay, so that's the purpose of Jordan derivations. Again, these are not just derivations of the Lie algebra. They're meant to represent, they have lots of properties. They really want to be add of a Jordan element. Okay, we're not talking about the abstract derivations of the Lie algebra. These are of degree one or two, and the axioms are designed to turn them into Jordan elements. Okay. Yes, but I will soon. I have one, it's part of two different papers. One part is posted, I'll post a revised one. It's on universal quadratic, universal polynomial envelopes, or Jordan pairs. The second part will be just Jordan pairs. I have one more thing. I spent the last 6 months trying to get all the pieces, and I have one last piece to put in before I want to send it off to the But it should be, I was hoping that I would just before I came here and I could get through the full paper, though it's all but the last 2 pages. So it will be ready to let you out. I don't know for sure what the universal central. The word central worries me. Okay. I'm pretty sure it won't look like that.
It's probably exactly opposite of what you're wondering.
They'd
be much happier with
Jordan's
algebra.
What I'm thinking
of is the. So I actually have to reclaim the whole object.
No, I'm always facing
I think I'm going to no mention of cosmology.
Okay. No, that's too bad. Hoping you
but I'm going to mention Thayer's conjecture too.
Oh good.
Excellent. I'm not going to state it, but I'm going to say
okay.
I will say the name.
Perfect. Have you heard anything about they thought they had a German
right, but
have they fixed it, or?
Well, so when was the last news you heard?
No, but
well, when she spoke, or afterwards? Because that night she thought she had it.
Well,
but it didn't work out.
I don't know. So the last you heard, she had a fix.
So she gave the talk, and then at night, she said she had a fix, and then she explained it to Khalil, but then I don't know. We'll see.
Good.
We'll see.
So you're going to Paris?
I'm going to next spring. I'm going to go do a European tour because I have a sabbatical semester. So I'm going to go to Nottingham and Paris and Le Monde Neuve, Virginia, and to Zurich. I'd like to go to Paris because it's close to Paris.
Are you going to start in January?
Yes, I'll probably go in March. Because I want to go to Fontainebleau to go bouldering, so the weather has to be a little bit nice. It can't be too cold.
I used to climb when I was young.
Where?
In Patagonia.
This is the very exciting place to go. The weather's pretty bad.
Well, if you go to the
That's the only place I know. Because, of course, besides the fact that it's very basic stuff, the pictures are very nice. So it's guaranteed you'll always see the value.
Yes. Now, the pictures are surreal. Yeah, these eyes are real sticking out.
So it's been dripped by my landlord, who was Chilean, very adventurous at the time, but he had on his wall a calendar of various Chilean men. And so it had this picture of the ground. I said, oh, yes, I see it. He's like, how do you know?
Remember the Italian guy that climbed a torre?
Yes.
So he was, what was the name of the guy? Anyway, she was the niece of this guy, so she knew all the story.
Wow!
Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow!
Small world.
So for me, my cousin is a NASCAR driver. So I have this conversation a lot with people, but only about NASCAR. But you know, living in the South, it's very popular.
Yes.
Probably not so much in Canada.
No. Well, my son is listening. See, I'm going to the banco.
For sure.
Okay. I will see you later on. I think this guy.
Yeah, I only think that the interderivation part of that, but I think, yeah. Now, it's certainly going to be true that the bracket of this and this, and the bracket of this and this, is going to be zero. Because those are elements. And the on the rate, if you take one of these bad things, then you take the X's of the same model, the right plus minus the same, okay? Under this goes this up and upstairs and downstairs, if you remove the hat, it's still the effect. And the hat, the universe of gadget, acts on this regular bimodule just like here. So that if this is zero up there, you're saying that this should be, the D should be a 10. We have certainly, yes, up here it should be, yeah. Yeah, well, the Kernel Phi, of course, is only in here. It's only in this part, and it will be those formal multiplications which vanish on the...